Now, a warm welcome for Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but to introduce the four exciting and talented players of the game who are going to take part this week. We welcome four exciting young comedians. Young Paul Merton, who's shown such success in recent years, one of our star comedians today. Young Greg Proops, a great stand-up comedian who's come from across the Atlantic and is now settled in this country to entertain us all. Young Graham Norton, who's shown such skill on this show, and that perpetually young entertainer who's been with us since the show began, that other young comedian, Derek Newman. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that again, as usual, because those are the rules, to speak without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject that was gained, or lose points accordingly. And those points will be recorded for me by Helen Williams, who sits beside me, with a pad and with a whistle to blow when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House in London, and we have a wonderful, new, exciting audience in front of us. And we're going to start with Derek Nimmer. Why not? Derek, you've been with us longest, so you get this one going. Getting in first. Starting now.
Well, of course, in this particular...
And the Paul Merton challenge.
I just thought I'd get in first.
Yes. You got in with your first challenge. I don't think it was good enough to get a bonus point, Paul, but nice to hear from you. Derek was interrupted, so he gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, 59 seconds left. Getting in first, Derek, starting
actually,
now.
Actually, in this particular program, it's not a very good idea to get in first. You should get in last, because then you get a bonus point. I remember this being brought home to me, the very first program that we did at the Playhouse Theatre down on the... by the embankment.
Greg Proops challenge.
I'm not sure what an on by would be.
There's definitely hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation. And
no, it was a definite hesitation. Come on, the positive, Greg. It helps on this show.
All right. Right. All right, darn it. Derek did it bad, and I want it.
Right. Greg, it was always a correct challenge, so you got it. You get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject. There are 43 seconds left. Getting in first, starting now.
Getting in first is the object of my country's goals and desires. I come from a land across the sea, a young place, an adolescent nation that is both at once aggressive and, of course, uneducated. This is what makes us so terrifying to the world at large. The fact that we have enormous guns and you're not yet of an age to use them properly. Getting in first means to me that we should dominate everywhere we go in, of course, a kind and benevolent...
Graham Norton challenge.
Well, this is a bit picky, but there were quite a few of courses.
Oh, was there?
Yes,
there was
I'm afraid so. A bit picky,
is
but
that
it
a bad thing?
No,
no,
oh,
no, no, I said of course. No,
it wasn't really a challenge, more of a comment.
No, it's good.
Stand up and take it back.
No, it's just an observation.
It's good to hear from everybody in the first round.
All right, then.
Get in first there. So, Graham, we're all in on the first round as well. That's great. Correct challenge, a point to you, 13 seconds. Getting in first, starting now.
Getting in first is a good thing, because often getting in second isn't so special, is it? I find, Steady, when you approach a theatre and you get in first...
Whoever is speaking in this game, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. It was Graham Norton, and at the end of that round, he is ahead of all the other three. And Paul, will you take the next round? The subject, watching paint dry. Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, if you can. Starting now.
Emulsion is the most exciting, because it takes slightly longer to dry than gloss. At first, you see the sheen of the wet liquid glistening in the sunlight. And then you notice, after perhaps an hour or possibly two, it doesn't quite gleam with the same brightness.
Great challenge.
Well, first, there was a repetition of gleam, and secondly, this was as boring as watching paint dry.
that's what I
will give you the repetition, because that's what we have to
do. I did shine the first time.
I know you did.
And then gleam the second time.
I know you did.
But you're still going to give him for the repetition? Yes.
No, not...
Well, is gleam an anagram of shine? I hadn't noticed.
I might do it for deviation of the fact that actually emulsion paint doesn't dry quicker than gloss paint.
Oh, you've made a study of it, have you?
I'm a handyman with my paintbrush.
Well, it's nice to have a hobby in life.
No.
I was wondering what you did other than this show.
Greg, I'm going to be a little generous, if you don't mind, Paul, because Greg has got 39 seconds and we want to hear from him on watching paint dry starting now.
The town where my parents live in Mississippi is called Casilla. This is an old Spanish word that means the boringest place in all of the South. In this place,
Paul got back in.
Well, not only was it very boring, we also had repetition of the word place.
That's right, and so you go out, but you come back in with another point, and you carry on
with fish contacts.
27 seconds.
Take your time and come to me.
Watching paint dry with Paul, starting now.
As the beads of pigment slowly take off. No, I can't go on anymore.
Repetition slowly.
Slowly, yes. So the beads of pigment, I love. I'm going to treasure that one. Derek, you have 23 seconds to tell us something about watching paint dry.
Watching paint dry. Well, curious enough, I don't very often tell the truth on this program, but I was employed to watch paint dry at Goodless Wall and Company in Speke, and they made something called Valspar 4-2 hour lacquer. And it had to dry within this period. And I worked in the laboratory for Mr. Yule, and I was always sitting there looking to see whether this...
Graham Norton challenge.
Did you say two twice? Because wasn't it 4-2? Okay, was it 4-2?
Yes, for 4-2, 2-4.
4-2. Never in the history of the world has watching paint dry been such a complex...
If there's anybody in the audience who would like to join in this discussion or anything to add to this fascinating subject. No, Derek, I agree with you. It was an incorrect challenge. So you have 2 seconds on watching paint dry starting now.
Sitting in Raffles Hotel, watching paint dry.
So, Derek Nimmer speaking as the whistle wing game. That extra point is equal in the lead now with Paul Merton, then equal in second place behind them are Greg Proops and Graham Norton. Ah, Greg! Take the next subject. Broadcasting House, starting now.
Broadcasting House is a building of mystery, intrigue, and adventure. Built over 2,000 years ago, during Middle Earth, it was originally a place where hobbits dwelled. And dragons flew about its hallowed turrets. It also features a bar, the likes of which has not been seen, unless you have been to Singapore, to Raffles, where a gay bar full of joie de vivre and bon mots hurtling through the air at lightning speed is the type of tenor you'll pick up in this place of drinking. Ledger Germain.
Paul?
No, I think it just went there completely. The words were still flowing, but any sense of meaning had been left somewhere in Gibraltar.
Anyway, there are 26 seconds, a correct challenge from you, and the Broadcasting House is the subject, Paul, starting now.
Indeed, this show is currently being recorded in Broadcasting House in the radio theatre of Broadcasting House, which is where we are, Broadcasting House. I can say Broadcasting House because the subject on the card, funnily enough, is House Broadcasting, or if you prefer the other way, Broadcasting House. Now, it was first built in the year 1936, and it was extended further...
Derek Nimmer challenge. I think that was a... Can you interpret that as hesitation? Derek, tell us something about Broadcasting House in 4 seconds.
Oh, Arthur Askey and Stinker Murdoch. They used to live at the top in the little flat. Do you remember that?
Paul Merton and Derek Nimmer are still out in the lead together. And Graham Norton, your turn to be in the subject, The Journey of a Lifetime. Thank God Derek Nimmer didn't have that one. That's the subject. Tell us something about it starting now.
Thank you, Nicholas. The journey of a lifetime. I've chosen to speak about my own lifetime. It all began, dear listener, in a small front bedroom in Clondalkin. That's just outside Dublin. My mother had chosen to have me there rather than the hospital because she'd had a horrible time giving birth to Paula. She hated the nurses. So she was having a home birth. There I was, bursting into the scene. My father was close by, or possibly not, I don't know. Too young to remember. I'm blurring that bit. It's not that interesting. We'll cut to year four. I'm off to school now, episode two. In school, it was a Mrs. Oh, dear God. It was a Mrs.
I've never heard of anybody's infancy getting a round of applause before. Maybe it was a very interesting birth.
You can't believe I have a mother, that's all.
Greg, you got in first there.
Ah, repetition of school, perhaps.
School, yes, school. He did repeat school. 15 seconds are left for you, Greg, on the journey of a lifetime, starting now.
When leaving a mini cab,
Graham Norton challenge.
There was hesitation there.
I think so. So, what episode are we going to have? Because there's only 11 seconds left with the journey of your lifetime, Graham, starting now.
Oh, the journey of a lifetime for me. It was in Australia.
There ain't no more chance.
Revision of me.
That's right. That's what you started off with.
Don't like
no,
that.
No, fine. No, fine.
That's all right. It's just that I don't think they wanted to hear about Derek's.
I don't think it's that. I think they could recite it with him.
Well, Derek, tell us about this journey of a lifetime. You have 6 seconds, and if you don't bring in Raffles, you might get a bonus point. Starting now.
My journey of a lifetime is I went youth hostelling in North Wales. I went to Maes Huffen. And went at the same time as a very famous...
No. Paul challenged us before the whistle.
Repetition of went.
You went, yes, you did go. You went twice.
Off now.
So, Paul, you got in there just before the whistle. The journey of a lifetime, starting now.
Bangkok to Scunthorpe.
Paul had other points, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead. Derek Nimmo's following, and then it is Greg Proops ahead of Graham Norton. And, Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, Monica. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Well, it's a word that can mean a pseudonym or a special name that has been adopted by somebody. For example, Derek Nimmo was known as the playboy of the Western world in the 1960s with his many theatrical excesses and successes, was the word I should have used apart from the one I just did, but that's okay because it didn't matter and I haven't repeated too much. He was perhaps the Scarlet Pimpernel of his generation. They sought him here, they looked for him elsewhere, and they did lots of things. I've given up, really.
It is tough.
I'm boring myself.
I know. Yes, well, you're not the only person, but I mean...
That's rich from Nicholas Parsons.
Anyway, 29 seconds available for you, Derek, on Monica, starting now.
Monica means a nickname as well as your proper name. I remember when a man called Richard Waring wrote a series for Charlie Frith. And at the end of the final recording, Charlie said, "Oh, have I got a moniker?"
Graham Norton challenge.
Was there a repetition of Charlie?
Charlie Drake, yes, and Charlie said at the end of the recording.
But perhaps there wasn't. Perhaps you want to hear the whole story. Stepping away.
No. Let's hear from you on Monica. 16 seconds, Graham, starting now.
If moniker is like a proper name, then I suppose it's accurate to say out loud on this program at this time that my moniker is Graham. I say that without fear of contradiction.
And Paul Merton.
I contradict him.
I'm not afraid.
No, you're not afraid.
So what is your actual challenge?
No, that was it.
Well, it is... you missed out the repeated I say, but they didn't...
Well, I know, but a lot of Graham's stuff has got I and me and that. Right.
So
you have to let that go.
All right, well, you let it go, and Graham, you've got 3 seconds on Monica starting now.
My mother...
And that time
that was on his
hesitation. 1 second on Monica Paul starting now.
She was a lovely woman.
Graham challenge.
And there was a fighting
station. No, there wasn't. There we are. Starting now. Yes.
Keep it being on the list.
So Paul has increased his lead at the end of that round. And Greg Proops, your turn to begin. The subject, dumbing down. Can you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
Dumbing down is a process whereby people's tolerance for the truth is reduced over a period of time so that blatant lies seem as real as what is actually happening. For instance, and in this example, I shall use television. It being a medium that does not require raging intelligence in order to understand or comprehend in any way, but rather an area whereby anyone may go and visit without tiny ocelots of love that often dwell near Derek Nimmo's head as he
holy challenge.
There was a lot of activity during my talking.
Paul, what was your challenge?
Well, it did come to a full stop.
I think it is more than that, yes. I don't know where it had gone. 19 seconds are left for you, Paul, on dumbing down, starting now.
Well, Greg was quite right, and I was enjoying what he was saying until he got put off by the fact that nobody was going to challenge him at all, which is a rather unfair trick that people do occasionally play on guests on this programme. Dumbing down is something that's been happening in the United States and other territories of the world for really the last 35 years, since the proliferation of television into people's homes.
So, Paul's increased his lead at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject is foibles. Will you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
I have quite a few rather curious foibles. When I'm visiting a friend's house, I nip out after dinner to the bathroom and wash my hands. And then putting the soap under the tap, I take all the bubbles off because I don't want my chums to know that I've used the thing which I put onto my appendages here. And then another thing I do is I never open the towel. I put my hand inside and dry it within. And on the way out, I always look in the medicine cabinet to see what kind of pills they're using. It is a very strange one. My wife has amazing foibles. We were taking a restaurant the other day, and she said to me, she said, "Don't turn round, but who's that sitting behind you?" And I thought, what an incredible thing to actually say to a husband who's been married to you for 42 years. But she does have a rather funny foible. She puts bits of fluff under the bed and expects me to crawl underneath on a Sunday morning round about 11:15 with a vacuum cleaner.
So, Derek Nimmo started with the subject and finished with the subject. He went without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, and he wasn't interrupted for any other reason. And so he not only gains a point for speaking as the whistle went, he gains a bonus point for not being interrupted. So he gets 2 points at the end of that round. Well done, Derek. We move on now to Graham Norton to take the next round. And it is New Year's resolutions. Tell us something about the subject starting now.
My New Year's resolution is to pay less attention to the wise words of Anne Diamond. Because I honestly believe that she has the ability to poison a mind. I really do. And at this point in my little chat, I've suddenly realized I'm not talking about that person at all. I meant another person. Oh, what's that person again?
Greg Proops, challenge.
I believe there was a repetition of the word poison.
Yeah, but which person did you think you were you thinking about?
Anne Robinson. Yes. Actually, what I meant.
So, if Anne Darm is listening, Graham did not mean it at all. If Anne Robinson's listening, he did mean it. great producer. It was a correct challenge. You have 30 seconds to tell us something about New Year's resolution starting now. Oh, it's not fair, is it?
It is, Ted. No,
well,
hesitation, I'm afraid. Nothing happened.
I know. What do I do? When last time you were with us, I didn't allow it. I must do it this time. I'm sorry.
Oh, of course. Guys. Take it away. All
right. New Year's resolutions.
I'm watching your monologue very carefully.
Yeah, no, I'm looking
New Year's resolutions you. With you, Derek, starting.
My New Year's resolution is to go to Ireland and meet Graham Norton's mother. She always seems to me to be the most exciting, wonderful character who likes...
Paul Merton Charles.
Deviation. She's been dead 20 years.
Well, I don't know if she has or not. Can you put us right on that one?
Well, it's a bit of a hidden secret. She wishes she had been. particularly right now. She's walking on the streets of Band, and people report, look, she gave birth to the devil child.
So what we do is, Paul's is a nice challenge, and it came out of the blue, so we give him a bonus point because we enjoy the challenge. Derek gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, New Year's resolution, starting now.
I'm sure she, like her son, has the gift of the blarney. And if I would turn up at her abode, I would be welcome.
Paul Merton Charles.
Was it turn up at her abode?
Abode. He did say her abode.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry, the D didn't travel.
I know. It got about as far as me. I must explain to our listeners I'm halfway across.
What did you do with it?
What, that's...
Because it didn't go over here. You put it in your pocket. I didn't hear. I said, I heard a bone.
No, you heard a bone.
There's a missing D. Nobody leave until we find this D.
I can understand why you challenge, but I won't charge anything except to say Derek keeps the subject of a New Year's resolution, and there are 7 seconds left starting now.
A bottle of Guinness and some Irish stew with plenty of potatoes would be offered to me, and I would enjoy them and devour them.
Paul Merton challenge again just before the whistle.
Deviation, I don't think you'd be offered a pint of Guinness and Irish stew.
Why not?
Because he can't pronounce his D's properly.
No, right, another point there. And Derek was speaking as the whistle went, so let's blow the whistle again. Paul Merton is still in the lead. He's one ahead of Derek Nimmo now. Then come Graham Norton and Greg Proops in that order, a little way behind. Paul, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is The Way of All Flesh. Tell us something about that exotic subject. In 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Ashes to ash, dust to dusty. Suppose this, in the end, is going to be our finish for all of us here. But not as soon as Nicholas Parsons. Because I've been... Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Derek, Nimmo challenge first.
Well, I think it's very mean to suggest that Nicholas is going to precede you.
I know.
He's in remarkably good nick, aren't you, Nick?
Derek... The Way of All Flesh is with you. 44 seconds are available, starting now.
As Paul has said, we all eventually die. It is the only certainty in life. It seems to me to be a fairly gloomy subject for how it does to admit it.
This is the most...
No, sorry, I just have to stop him. I just have to stop him.
I mean, if you can lift this sepulchral tone that's descended upon them, well, I'd be most grateful, Graham, because there's 33 seconds left. The Way of All Flesh, starting now.
Oh, please, The Way of All Flesh, to my mind, is to the table. Mmm, cook it. They go... It's a superb restaurant in South Africa, which I went to, and oddly, Derek Nimmo wasn't there. Who knew? But it's called Carnivore. And you can imagine what they serve. Yes, meat. Great big spears of the stuff, because they're not patronizing or demeaning the indigenous culture in any way. And they serve giraffe, rhinoceros, elephant, crocodile, cow.
I think we should give Graham not only a point for speaking as the whistle went, but a bonus point for lifting the mood in just a minute. The way it is descending. All right. And they also have ostrich, which is quite a delicacy. We had a lot of ostrich when we were out in South Africa.
Did you go to carnivore, Nicholas?
No, I was eating the carnivores because they were serving them up.
Ostrich eat meat?
No. If a meat eater is a carnivore, right?
Yeah, but you weren't eating them, I hope.
Ostriches.
Yes, just chip like a normal person, Nicholas. There's no need for that.
I was eating ostriches.
Oh, right. Oh,
it's a great delicacy over there now. Yeah. Ostrich steaks. And also ostrich eggs. You can make 22 omelets from one ostrich egg. Did you know that?
It is all my fault.
You have to get a drill, and because it's so hard, and you drill the end, both ends, and then you shake it out from inside.
You drill both ends of the ostrich?
Egg! Oh, the egg! The ostrich egg!
I see.
Get it out, yes.
Well, we've stopped a few unpleasant scenes at Windsor Safari Park, then.
Why are we talking about ostriches all the time? We're all by farming.
Let's get one thing right. Is ostrich the subject on the card?
It was not the subject in the car, but I thought this audience here would love to hear about it, and the people who have not been to South Africa might like to know about it, and the audience was certainly entertained, so it's better than what you were talking about last time. So, and as we go in the last round, Eric Nemo and Paul Merton are equal in the lead. Graham Norton is behind them in second place, because they're equal. And then comes Greg Proops in third place. And Greg, you are going to take the last round. It is the perfect host. Maybe they could serve ostrich eggs, anything you like. But there we are. Talk about the perfect host starting now.
Nicholas Parsons has been to me both gracious and kind, attentive and servile, both wheezling. Yes, darling.
Hesitation.
Oh, yes, no. Once you mention the word servile, you realize you flipped, you know, and got in on hesitation. 51 seconds. The perfect host, Paul, starting now.
The perfect host, undoubtedly, is the ostrich. It has a wonderful way of looking around the room, seeing if everybody's got a drink. I was once at an ostrich farm. I've said ostrich twice, it's not the subject.
Graham Norton challenged.
I would say he was ostrich.
Yeah. Yes,
ostrich.
Not
ostrich,
yes,
now.
Yeah. Right. So 41 seconds for the perfect host from you, Graham, starting now.
The perfect host, to my mind, does not attend their own party. That way, you can freely slag off their furniture, food, and friends without fear of being overheard by the host. Doesn't that sound fantastic to you? It certainly does to me. Sadly, it rarely happens. Don't hosts tend to show up in their own home when you do? It's so annoying. You ring the doorbell thinking, maybe a guest will let me in. I'll never see the host. I can't quite believe I'm still speaking. Yes, I am.
Greg proves a challenge.
There were many hosts.
Yes.
The host is on the card.
Yes, I realize
but
that.
But he said he hoped that someone would interrupt him, and you did, Greg. 14 seconds to go on the perfect host, Greg, starting now.
The perfect host is one that always knows exactly when to end the show. This being the...
Derek Nimmer Chummer. No, indeed not. No. Another point to him. 7 seconds. The perfect host with you, Greg, starting now. Paul Merton Chummer.
That was hesitation.
No, it wasn't hesitation. Greg, you
had... It wasn't hesitation.
It was only half a second. 6.5 seconds. Perfect host starting now.
The name of this show is, of course, Justin...
Graham Norton
Chummer. Repetition of show.
Yes. You get it back, and you have the subject, you have another point, you wind up, 3 seconds to go, the perfect host, Graham, starting now.
The perfect host would be Anne Robinson. I think she's fantastic. I really love her.
Well, as I said, this was to be the last round, so let me give you the final score, the state of play, as we say, because it was rather nice, because Graham Norton and Greg Proops, who haven't played the game nearly as much as Paul and Derek, came surging forward in that last round. They gained lots of points, but they did finish in third and fourth place, respectively. No, but it was their super contribution, which we love. And then Paul Merton finished in second place, and 5 points ahead was Derek Nimmer, who spoke most, gained most points, so we call him the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our 4 outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Derek Nimmo, Greg Proops, and Graham Norton. I also want to thank Helen Williams, who's been helping with the score. In fact, she's kept the score and blown the whistle so magnificently. Our producer and director, Chris Neal, Ian Messiter, who thought of and created the game for us, which we all enjoy playing so much. Our audience here in the radio theatre in Broadcasting House, and particularly our listeners throughout the world. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and you will be tuning the next time we take to the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, then from all of us. Goodbye.